Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the October 10 edition of Commodity Week. The United States Department of Agriculture has released its October reports. We'll discuss them and so much more today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
I am University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the markets with our panelists, including Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting from Atchison, Kansas, Pete Manhart out of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, and Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities from Lafayette, Indiana. Our special guest today, Jerry Goodell of Rice Dairy from Chicago, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org, that's willag.org, where we post all of our agricultural programming in its entirety not long after it airs on our radio stations. Well, let's begin our questioning this hour with this particular question. And we'll start with you, Bill Gentry, and then kind of work around the horn here with everybody, trying to get an idea of how far along you think harvest is for corn, for soybeans, where things have slowed down, and in the immediate area where you live, what conditions are like. Bill Gentry?
Yeah, I'd say corn progress is up by me north of Lafayette a little bit. It's probably only about maybe 10 or 15% done. Beans, probably were at that point, but have stopped cutting beans, basically because it's too wet. South of town, probably a little bit further along, a little less precip and a little lighter soils in places. I'd say they're probably maybe trying to get to 30% done in corn and probably 25% done in beans, maybe a little bit further. And then further south, south of 70, do have a couple of guys that have finished up, but as Chuck said, you know, that's pretty good progress. So I think for the most part, we're moving along, but a lot slower than we'd like to be.
Pete Manhart in the Bloomington Normal area?
We're not very far along right here, but I would think those 17 and 20s would go nationwide up at least 10 points. I don't think they can go much higher than that. Around here, I would think the 15% area in corn and beans, maybe a little higher on corn than beans because of the people going in corn instead of beans after the rains.
Immediate area in the Atchison, Kansas portion of our listening audience.
Well, 5 inches of rain and very cold weather that followed, Todd, has pretty much kept us out all week this week, and it sounds like that the because we're pretty hilly in certain areas, that there might be a little bit worked on in the early part of next week if we miss the Sunday precipitation. But there's about an 80 to 90% chance of another round of 1 to 2 inch rains coming on Sunday night. And if that happens and we stay cold, we'll probably lose another 3 to 4 days.
And Jerry Goodell, I left any place you want to take up. I suppose you're there in Chicago, but north of Interstate 80 from Chicago to the Dakotas.
Oh, thanks. Give me quite an alternative there. They got a nationwide basis here. This week's bean numbers here, we were at 20% last week. Traditionally, here we would be moving on up towards the 5-year average, like 45. I would be real, real surprised if we had much better than 10%. And that's primarily because of the fact that we had areas in Minnesota and northern Iowa and the northern areas that got some more percentage done. And as people have mentioned, it's been a real tough week for doing beans east of the Mississippi. Corn, the numbers there, we only got 5% done last week at 17%. The numbers there have been, we were, officially next week we should see more closer to 40% there also, but I don't know, I would expect probably 7, 8%, maybe 25% would be my guess on numbers. And I think that's a really important factor that's starting to wane on this market here on an overall basis with the lack of progress, particularly these beans with the significant amount of beans we have on the books already. I think it's going to start to wane if we don't get that good weather they keep talking about the middle of next week for the next 10 days. Hope that all shows up.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I want to start with. Maybe the beans, and each of you can weigh in on this. Can the beans, the USDA did not change the cash price this morning when they released the numbers to WASI. It's now $9 to $11 nationwide for the season's average. That's from now and till we get to the end of the marketing year next fall. But at this point, can beans maintain a level? And they dropped, what, 20 cents today. Can they maintain a better level? Because we're starting to slow things down just a bit. And it looks like export market staying pretty strong. Maybe we can start with you, Pete Manhart, on an answer to that question.
I see us going back near the old lows, if not making new ones on beans, just because of the volume that we have yet to harvest, unless we really just drag it out for 2 or 3 months. I just see us going back to the $9 area and maybe a little below.
Bill Gentry?
Maybe not as low as before.
Hey, Bill Gentry?
You know, I think realistically from a technical perspective, we had basically the $8.80 to $9 range as a goal for the fall beans or November beans. We got the $9.04 last week and really recovered nicely. I think we could go down and check the old lows, but I think the real challenge right now is, does the futures market start to discount some of these things in advance, and what role does the basis play? Because we've seen some real erratic basis patterns over the last 2 or 3 weeks. We kind of expect that to continue. So the futures market could easily drift down to that $9 level. But horseshoes and hand grenades, it's possible that we've put in a market low for the beans in the futures market, but cash is going to be a little bit different.
Mr. Zuzulo.
Well, I think fundamentally the report today, Todd, and the weather that Jerry's talking about, I would say if you blend those two together, my take is you've got a major low in wheat in place now, and there's no need to go back down fundamentally if we continue to have harvest problems, because we will lose yield in the fields. And that's what I heard a lot this week from producers: test weight on corn and shatter in beans if we start to delay yields or delay harvest. And I know we're a week or two away from really getting into that, but I think it's worth talking about at this point. Having said all that, I think you've got to remain a technician, and you can't pull your hedges until you get a weekly buy signal on whatever charts you prefer to look at. But I will take those weekly chart signals at face value. If I get a buy signal because of the fundamentals of this report and because of the weather, if I get buy signals on a weekly close, I'll respect that and I'll pull hedges on the paper side.
So I might hear you, at least Mike, saying the trend is your friend, which is down at the moment, but once that signal comes, you'll change.
Is That's that right? Exactly
for
right.
Soybeans.
I mean, the biggest problem, and maybe this is too wonky, but the biggest problem for me is what's going on with the Ebola, what's going on with a lot of chatter in Europe, and what's going on with a lot of chatter in Germany. In the Euro area, the VIX got up above 22. That was a red alarm flag for me this week. That's the highest level since December 2012. If I'm more of an inflationary bull, and I am, than deflationary bull, I can't let that work against me on a long-term basis, because that VIX is an extremely good and powerful tool to kind of give you an idea of whether the world, at least, is expecting deflation, which then means we're back in the soup of quantitative easing.
Okay, and Jerry Goodell, your thought process here after you've heard everybody. It appears to me that you may be the most friendly of the crew, but I'm not certain about that.
Well, I have been on the friendly side of things on an overall basis, but because I do think that that the strength of this demand on the soybean side is quite significant in here, because we have such a... I realize that everybody senses that we don't have a lot of stuff sold, but we also have a tremendous amount of beans that need to move between now and February. I think that's going to be becoming, as some people noted, it's an important factor that has to start moving here. It has to get into the process. It has to get into the export channels. We have to get that started. As to the extent that we potentially could go down to those lows, yeah, those are possible on both corners. Corn particularly has a better chance of that maybe than beans do. If we do it down there, I think it's a double bottom mentality on the soybean side of things. From the standpoint of the corn side of things, it's going to be a more slug it out scenario here. We're not going to, as we go through the winter, I think we're going to start looking at next year's crop sizes. And then ultimately we're going to start to get, in South America, we're going to have issues about trying to get that corn crop. They're starting off their real dry start there on their beans for the Mato Grosso, and that's where a lot of the double crop corn is. And if they don't get the beans in, they can't get the corn out. So there's some longer-term thinking about it. Potentially that we're, over the next 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to start to make this thing into a bottom and then get enthusiastic in November, as we always do.
Mike, over the last 2 to 3 months, and you're not the only one that has used this particular model or piece of information, but I don't know what the VIX is. What is it?
Well, it's a simple representation of option volatility, they added the options together, and so it's off the Chicago Board of Options Exchange, and it's just the volatility index based upon at-the-money calls and puts and several different strikes of at-the-money. It's representative, Todd, of a fear gauge. The lower the volatility, and there's a pretty high correlation in terms of the trading and the history between the VIX and the equities, that they have a very strong correlation together. A low VIX usually means a very strong stock market. Risk is taken on because volatility is low. And if the VIX starts to go up and volatility starts to go up, that can be helpful if you're an options trader, you know, on a side note. But when you talk about the global economy and the macro fundamentals, the higher the VIX goes, usually that means more downward move for the equities. And we saw that in the crude oil this week. I mean, we've lost since September 30th over $11 in crude oil. That's 12%. We're now at the lowest level since July 2012. Well, that VIX getting above 22 this week puts it at the highest level since Dece of 2012. So you can kind of see the correlation there, that as the crude oil goes down and the equities go down, eventually the grains and livestock will have to be, unfortunately, caught up in that. We've been able to avoid that so far because, you know, assets have been reallocated. Grains and livestock have actually gone up in the start of this fourth quarter, whereas the equities and crude has gone down.
Okay, so corn, USDA today said 174.2 bushel the acre nationwide. USDA was at 171.7 in September. It moved the ending stocks from 2.002 billion to 2.081 billion in the grand scheme of things. What's that, 79 million bushels? That doesn't seem like a whole big change. I would guess that the marketplace thought that was not too terribly bad. The question then, of course, for you, Bill Gentry, has this changed anything in your mind as to whether to sell or store the corn crop?
No, the report in and of itself didn't change that. We're still watching the pricing matrix to make that determination because the basis levels and the carry in different markets are very variable. I would say that we're still above $2 billion on a carryout, so the market has the propensity to maintain a little bit of a defensive bias. And we've got a lot of harvest activity with a big crop coming. So being optimistic and saying price it now, it's definitely going to go lower, I think we're kind of on the fence. I would take a defensive posture and push as much out, push as much out into reasonable basis levels as I can, and then respect the carry. If I look out and say my January bid is 30 cents better than what my harvest bid is, then I'll put my corn in the bin or put my beans in the bin and basically lock in some cash price or put some hedges in place.
And by the way, to each of you, your mics are just open, so if you want to ask a question of anybody else or just jump in, please do so. Hey, Pete Manhart, I want to know what your thoughts on sell or store are, because that seems to be the question that farmers are asking continually through this process. They just haven't seen these kinds of low levels at harvest time, and they're wondering really what they ought to do.
Well, look at this week. This week we bounced 50 cents off last week's low in beans and 30 on corn. That should have had people, I think, selling. And then when we do make a new harvest low, because I think the yields will go higher, I think that's why we pushed down later after the smoke cleared today, that industry is looking at those yields to go up still. A lot of people at close to the 180 number on corn and on beans, close to the 50 number. If you do that, carry out goes to 2.6 on corn and what, 6.10 on beans. So I'm looking at selling it now on bounces like we had this week. We took a lot of the bounce away today, but those bounces need to be used. And then look at the carry out there further away if you want to maybe re-own it.
Was anybody interested in the language USDA used as it related to the acreage updates? It looked to me as if that left a great deal of spin to come in their acreage changes maybe in the future. Jerry Goodell?
Well, that's one of the things that probably, in my opinion, coming in this report was when we thought we were going to get a mandate on where these acreage is going to be after all the so-called FSA updates. Yet in reality of it is that we could still have some adjustments in those harvested acres, it seems like you mentioned, the language, and to some extent Even if you think about last year, we didn't get the change in the officially in the October number last year because we didn't have an October number. We had some in November, and we also had some modest changes even at the end here. Now, some of those things in the beans were actually slightly wrong when we had to go back up. But I think that's a real interesting feature on this whole thing is that the acreage issues might not be straightened out yet. I'm still confused as to how in the world we can't walk and chew gum at the same time and get some of these numbers in while you have some other programs going on. There seems to be all kinds of theories why this number doesn't seem to be making sense, but maybe we will finally get it straightened out by the time we get to January.
Mm-hmm. As I understand it, Pete, here, the farmers do not have to report acres anymore to be in the farm program, so a lot of people didn't even report acres. How are they going to handle that?
Well, the biggest thing in that is that you've got people that have the insurance side of this issue. You have to report it and get your nice little aerial map with your stuff to put your insurance on. Now, I know that some people in the world of irrigation don't need to have insurance, but that is a big factor in this thing. And that was July 15th like it has been. There's nothing that I heard changed. Did you hear something change on that?
Anybody?
I just heard that to be in the farm program, there's lots of farmers that don't turn in their acres because it's not tied to anything.
Well, I think they have to turn them in. They just didn't have to turn them in at a specific date and to begin with. So, I think that may be the number. That's why I brought this up was because it appears to me that USDA is still thinking, well, how did they appraise it? Using the available data, which I thought was just interesting. So it'll be interesting to see, I suppose, whether they change anything on acreage as we go forward. Do you all think that these numbers, I've heard it a couple of times, for both corn and soybeans on yield will go up in November and then in January, too? That has a habit of doing that in big years, but this one's a pretty good-sized crop already. Mike?
I have difficulty with that, Todd, because I'm starting to hear more and more. If you drew a line in an arrow northwest of Champaign and northeast of Champaign and kept traveling, I am hearing more and more talk of lighter test weights and problematic losses if you don't get in the fields as fast as you need to when it comes to the corn. And so when I saw that objective yield scatter plot today and I saw that they had brought down the population a little bit, but they had taken up the pounds per ear close to that 0.350. I'm skeptical we can get any higher than that because of the anecdotal evidence of what I'm hearing in a pretty large area, like I said, northwest and northeast of Champaign, from producers that are now getting into the fields when the moistures have just dropped so dramatically they're actually getting hit on test weights. I'm hearing that in northwest, all the way to northwest Ohio and all the way into Iowa.
Well, I think the situation in the west of the Mississippi has been a whole different scenario this whole year. And if we've got so fixated on, as we always do in Chicago, and people in the Eastern Corn Belt get plenty of recognition, and we had about what their yields are because we get them in first, and we had the very impressive start from the Delta. We put those two together, but you don't have to go right across the river, but you go in the, 4 to 5 counties into Iowa. There's SDS problems on beans. I've heard 35 to 45 bushel beans. I've heard some 150 to 180 bushel corns out there in certain places. Now, I know that there's some 200 plus out there too, but I think the one thing is that the western part of the country is going to have a lot more variability here, and also the fact that we talk about these nice new things that we did to look at here off of these objective yield things and that, and I kind of agree that this test weight situation, the weight of the year is pretty high already, and that could easily slip back. I don't know about the numbers, but I think we are at some high, significant high levels, and then the bean side of things, got all these things in front of me too.
Yeah,
I'm going to keep them all straight.
Of course, you're listening to Commodity Week from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. This is, of course, the October 10th edition of Commodity Week. Our guests include Jerry Goodell. He is with Rice Dairy out of Chicago, Illinois. Pete Manhart is with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Mike Zuzalo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. And Bill Gentry is with Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. Let's continue our conversation now. Jerry, I think you were in the midst of talking about the disparity between the east and the western side of the Mississippi River, especially as it pertains to soybeans and what might be happening with that crop.
Well, on the soybean side, as I said, they've already got this thing at an all-time high on number of pod weight situations on things. And from the standpoint of going through this scenario, and interestingly about the whole thing, 50% of the beans are west of the Mississippi, and 46% of the corn is west of the Mississippi. Now, that includes Missouri, and Missouri had a fantastic crop. But other than that, the rest of the states and the ups and down North Dakota, yields and both corn and beans were down some. So you've got situations where these things could definitely have. I'm not disagreeing that we won't have some minor improvements, but to have some of the big jumps we had in 2004 and 2009 might not be there as they have been in the past, because we started at some huge numbers already this year.
Okay, so I've got two, I think. Is that right, Mike? I'm trying to recall. You weren't convinced. Jerry's not convinced that these numbers will continue to go up sharply, at least, through the final number. How about both you? We'll start with you, Pete, and then Bill Gentry.
I think they'll continue to be higher just on the basis of how many yields in that 46% do you hear under 175 on corn? Versus here, we're 220, 240. And how many do you hear under 50 in the 46% versus 60 to 80 east of the Mississippi? And I think that we'll continue to see on harvested yields higher numbers than what USDA has.
And Bill?
Yeah, I think realistically coming into this report, the assumption for us was that we would see some incremental increases in corn yield in particular. The bean yields are probably pretty close. But looking at the summary of today's USDA numbers, when you've got Illinois with a 200 bushel yield, you've got Indiana with a 186 already, you've got Missouri with a 180, Iowa at 185. To expect to see the overall average to creep up from here, especially given the possible harvest losses that we may encounter due to this poor weather, I'm inclined to think that we might be tapering off our yield a little bit, and then we'll probably wait for the final conclusion in January. Beans, I think realistically, beans have been a tough go for the last 2 weeks, and most of the guys that I've talked to are saying this is a really tough crop to get in, and we're probably going to have some more losses before it's all said and done. So assuming that we're going to see yield increases or especially large yield increases going forward, I think is a little bit of a stretch.
And time for a final word from each of you. We'll start with you, Mike Zuzalo.
I think simply put, Todd, we continue to see the USDA and the trade to not look at demand that much, and I think the technicals will help point the direction to when the trade will start looking at the fundamental demand, which continues to improve on these lower prices.
Bill Gentry?
I think going forward, we need to basically analyze each market individually and look at the basis and the futures separately, basically dissect the price, realize what it costs us to produce it, and to make value-based sales. And we also should be looking at 2015 stuff, especially the beans, because if we see as many acres planted next year as we assume that we will, the price of beans probably won't be holding the nine in front of it.
And Pete Manhart.
Low prices do cure low prices because of increased demand, but with 75% of the crop to be harvested, I still see a lot of harvest pressure continuing for the next 6 weeks.
Now, of course, this has been the October 10th edition of Commodity Week. Our special guest was Jerry Goodell. Our thanks to him. You can always hear it again at willag.org.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.